In our down economy, there are too many buildings that have for sale signs hanging in the window. City Hall should not be one of them.
That was Preet Bharara, U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, reflecting on the indictment of City Councilman Larry Seabrook on 13 charges ranging from money laundering to extortion to fraud. We've all heard about the $177 bagel that was charged to the taxpayers, allegedly by him. But Seabrook is only the most recent New York politician to be laid low from allegedly lining their own pockets. As another data point on a graph of graft, Seabrook is the latest example of a structure that allows people in power to assist themselves and the people who put them there. He is certainly not the first, and every indication is he will not be the last of even this current group of city and state politicians. So joining me now to dig a little deeper and analyze the business-as-usual reality that has landed so many recent electeds in hot water, David Yasky, the former city councilman from Brooklyn. He ran for controller last year, you may remember, and lost to John Liu. And Gerson Borrero, columnist at El Diario La Prensa and his own BarreroReport.com. Welcome back, both of you. Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Hello, Brian. Good to be here.
And Kendall Stewart, Miguel Martinez, Larry Seabrook, they've all been charged. Councilman Peter Rivera is under ongoing investigation. Councilman Maria del Carmen Arroyo's nephew has been arrested. She's under investigation. David Yasky, did they change something in the water at City Hall recently? What's going on?
Well, there has been a change, but it's not in the last couple of years. It's really over the last decade. The explosive growth in member items or discretionary funds that are available to individual legislators. And I should say, it's not just the city council that this has happened. Not the graft part, but the member items and discretionary funds. Congress does this a lot more. The state legislature does, and the city council. And it's a bad practice. It just has too much temptation for individuals to be able to allocate millions of dollars really at their own discretion with nobody looking over their shoulder.
Gerson, same question. Is it a case of it was ever thus, or is something going on recently?
I think that this has a historical context, Brian, and I think within what we have now, in listening to the speaker, Christine Quinn, who's also a city council member representing the 2nd District in Manhattan, the 3rd District in Manhattan, it's interesting to note that in her comments yesterday regarding the allegations made against Councilmember Seabrook, I found it highly troubling that she said, "I do not believe that what is alleged to have happened could have happened today under our new system." In the same breath, she actually says that absolutely this could be improved further. So where are we right now? How can she guarantee something that she created, this apparatus for these things to be happening? It was her creation, these dummy community-based organizations. Your listeners know the history. David Yasky knows that as a council member, he was a part of the scandalous era. And, you know, the member items that are given to council members, I think New Yorkers don't realize what happens in divvying up the millions of dollars that go automatically to council members that come through the agencies. The problem here, Brian, I suggest, it's not only that city for sale, it's city for purchase. And what role does the mayor have? What role did the ex-controller have? And what is John Liu as the new controller doing? Mr. Yasky would probably address that because he's been in the unfortunate position to be a part of what turned out to be thieves, and we really don't know how many more there are.
And let me play a clip of Speaker Quinn from those remarks yesterday saying that things are going to be different.
All of those allegations happened prior to an aggressive set of reforms we put in place 2 or 3 years ago.
So, Councilman Yasky, is that true? Has anything systemically changed? And I realize you're out of council now, so maybe you're a little freer to talk. Has anything systemically changed with the new rules?
Well, it's not a question of being freer to talk. And let me correct Gerson just a little bit. I mean, there has been some change, but certainly, no, not enough. It is true that when I ran for controller, I said that as controller, I would not approve member item contracts because what they are essentially are sole source contracts that are awarded to people without competitive bidding. And we all know the reason we have competitive bidding rules is to prevent this kind of corruption. Now, I think Speaker Quinn deserves credit because if you'll remember, when this all first came to light, she proposed getting rid of most member items. She proposed turning most of the member item funding into a system where there would be awards by experts at the city agencies based upon competitive bidding. She publicly proposed that. There was a mini revolt among many of the council members who did not want to lose their prerogative to award discretionary funds. And so her plan was rejected by the members of the council themselves.
I think that was short-sighted. But David, I thank you for correcting me. Then correct me if I'm wrong, that in fact she created the apparatus that resulted in the scandal, and she has walked away, and there's no investigation, no indictment of her, and she's the one that created this fix that she says, which in reality still leaves a lot of doubt as to why DOI or the feds are not, have not investigated her, indicted her. There's got to be some charges brought up against the speaker because she was the one that created it. Am I wrong on this?
Well, I think you are wrong about the created part. You're not wrong to say we should get rid of member items altogether, and we should. There's too much temptation for this kind of outright criminality that we've seen in the Larry Seabrook, in the office of Councilmember Stewart, and with Miguel Martinez. And even worse than that, it's a distraction. What it means is that council members focus almost entirely on, am I going to get $1 million or $2 million for my district? And they're not wrong to do that in some sense, right? Your job as council members is to protect your district. So, of course, you should be fighting for every single dollar for your district. But a system that makes those dollars available through discretionary funds means that council members will vote for almost anything as long as they continue to get the flow of discretionary funds to their district.
But then, David Yasky, do you think that the line of what is corruption and what is just good looking out for a district is changing, or changes depending on income? I mean, does a city council on the Upper East Side have the same need for earmarks and for the political power base that they can be used to build as a city council person in Brownsville whose residents may not have the same resources?
Well, what has changed is, as I said, the amount of discretionary funds that are available. When I started in the council in 2002, there was maybe $30 or $35 million in discretionary funds that the council as a whole allocated. That grew, and it was under Speaker Gifford Miller, that grew to some $300 million. And so just the level of dollars that are sloshing around grew so exponentially. And that does need to be reined in. I mean, it's one thing to have $5,000 or $10,000 grants to the local Little League or the senior center so that they can have a special lunch on Thanksgiving. That's fine. But not $100,000, $200,000 to nonprofits that nobody has vetted, that no city agency has determined is the best one to do their job. That's what happened in the Larry Seabrook case. If the council said, we want to have a program for economic development in the Bronx, and then let's let the economic development experts allocate the funds, you wouldn't have seen this. Instead, what you had was the council in the person of Larry Seabrook saying, we're going to put economic development funding into a nonprofit that I or my affiliates have created, and then they're going to write me checks.
I'm really glad you raised the nonprofits. And Gerson, I wonder if you feel any differently about this. Because even if we look at the Seabrook case, look past the $177 bagel and the other alleged instances, there are politically funded community groups out there that are doing very good, very necessary work that nobody else is doing. And, oh, by the way, some of the politicians who founded them might be using them for graft. How do we unpack that duality?
Well, so that we're clear on this, it isn't a matter of $100,000, $200,000. It's almost $2.5 million that one council member in the person of the accused Larry Seabrook that actually tried to divert and use in an improper manner. So can you imagine if you multiply by just 20 out of the 51 existing council members how much we're talking about? So to minimize the fact that it's small amounts, it isn't. The other thing is the incestuous way in which the council members, the city council, and the mayor's office really direct this through agencies. And David Yasky knows it. We don't have enough time in this program, but that's the way it's done. It's set up for that kind of system to perpetuate or actually initiate or tempt people into corruption. I want to say something here with regards to the process so the New Yorkers, your intelligent listeners probably Julio know about this probably, but it's also the fact that the mayor, the DOI, is the one investigating this. Why should the mayor be investigating himself? He controls the Department of Investigation. This has to be moved over entirely to the feds. I don't trust the people at the local level, neither can New Yorkers, because we already have Seabrook going down. Miguel Martinez is in jail, and God knows who else. But we need a real investigation, top to bottom, sort of like what happened in New Jersey, some kind of sting operation. They don't need it here in New York because they've done it on their own. They don't need anybody to entice them to steal the people's money. They do it willingly on their own. And I would say that I would suspect half the council members, of course, I have no idea if this is in fact true, but I would suspect that most New Yorkers would think, well, out of the 51, at least there's 25 that have done the thing. It's a matter of when they get caught.
Well, I don't think it's half. I don't think it's anywhere close to half. Brian, let me take a crack at unpacking that duality, as you put it.
Yes.
Of course, there are dozens, probably a couple of hundred of very valuable nonprofits in the city that do everything from the Museum of Natural History down to the local theater group and the Little League in people's neighborhoods. And they do deserve government support. The government support for those nonprofits is money well spent. Here's the problem is, what's the process for doing it? And look at what Chris Quinn did with arts funding. She did something terrific. She said for arts funding, which historically had been done by council members as discretionary funds, she said, let's just put that in one lump sum. It adds up to $15 million. Let's put $15 million in one lump sum and give it to a peer review process where people from the arts themselves, so for theater organizations, they have a group of the most distinguished theater professionals, evaluate grant proposals and decide which of the local theater companies are most worthy for arts education. Same thing. Rather than have the politicians, who are not experts, decide which are the organizations best suited to do this work, the job of the politicians is to say, here are our priorities. This much for arts funding, this much for police, this much for schools. And then have experts decide who can do that work.
And the experts would be chosen by politicians.
Well, the experts are chosen by, in this case, the Department of Cultural Affairs.
Which is tiny, but it's political, David. The problem is that it is incestuous. It's the mayor controlling all these agencies and the people. Right now, who's to say, and this is speculative on my part, that the mayor actually protected Christine Quinn so that she could vote for term limits in his favor, so he continued? Who's to say that? Can anybody say that that didn't happen? The problem is that we have a system here in the municipal government that is not only for sale, it is for purchase. And we know that there is a billionaire mayor who's able to do that because he's got tons of money to spend. He has spent almost $500 million in getting elected, reelected, and reelected. So we have a real problem, systemic problem. By the way, David, I hope that you get the job as taxi commissioner. I think you were about to get that. Is that correct?
Gerson, but you're right to say, look, somebody's got to allocate this funding, and whoever's doing it, you can say, well, who appoints them and who are they controlled by? So unless you're going to get rid of government programs like arts funding altogether, you have the question of who's going to make this decision. What I'm saying is the Department of Cultural Affairs is much better suited to do that than individual legislators. There's a whole check and balance of being in that agency structure that prevents people from just saying, this is my friend, I'm going to give them the money.
But David,
and with legislators,
David,
the possibility
please.
For abuse is much more rampant.
Let's not insult the intelligence of New Yorkers. You know that the mayor's office appoints the commissioner, assistant commissioner,
yes,
the top manager who make the final decision. The mayor's people can call up a deputy mayor, not necessarily the mayor,
mayor
and say, I want this agency, and then don't fund that one. It's all based on political. That's the problem. The problem is the people are expensing the money and the mayor.
Okay, so you have three choices. No arts funding.
No, I didn't say that. You're saying that. I say there's a mechanism that maybe
right,
within local institutions, community-based organizations, based on the merit, where an impartial panel, blind, can actually allocate this. And it doesn't have to be through city council members or they're having a list. I don't think community-based organizations should be subjected to the person who in turn is representing them for a short time who may have a political agenda.
Uh-huh.
I don't trust the elected officials. I don't trust the mayor's office or the department heads because they're all political appointments.
Let me go to a related aspect of that. My guests are former Brooklyn City Councilman David Yaski and Gerson Borrero, columnist at El Diario La Prensa and BorreroReport.com. By the way, guess which one is in Puerto Rico right now? That's right, Yaski.
Yaski? How is that possible?
Are you jealous, Garson?
Absolutely. I wish I was in Ponce.
I'm doing important research for government policy
to
be made in the future.
Okay, thank you. Have a good time.
Politicians all like to decry the special interests and paint their opponents as being indebted to some monolithic group. This isn't just city council where the community groups are used to build political power. Pedro Espada's nonprofit has landed him in hot water, and we could go on. Is this the new way to build a Tammany Hall machine, David Yaski?
Absolutely it is. And, you know, there's a political science dissertation or book to be written on this, but maybe it already has. And if not, Brian, then I recommend you write it. This is absolutely the 2010
time.
Version of Tammany Hall is for politicians to create or use existing nonprofits to build a power base. And you see this all over the place. That's the real problem with even more than directly stealing money, as Councilmember Seabrook is alleged to have done here. That is even the bigger problem with the use of discretionary funds, is it creates these mini political empires, and it means that's what determines where funding goes, not which organization is going to do the best job. And of course, Gerson's right. So, at some level, there's a politician, whether it's mayor or council member, but I think the agencies will do a better job.
And we're about to run out of time. But, Gerson, how much can you separate the leaders from the nonprofits, especially as they become the local power blocks? And, again, I'll say I think there's a duality here where sometimes they're used for tremendous amounts of graft, but also sometimes the same agencies are doing tremendous amount of good that nobody else is doing. Do you want to say that people who are working at local nonprofits who become community leaders thereby should somehow not be allowed to run for office? Or what's the solution, Gerson?
It's beyond my pay grade, but I will suggest that every community, not only because you mentioned Pedro Espada happens to be Puerto Rican, Larry Seabrook happens to be a black office holder, I think that it goes across every community. I think Mr. Yaski will agree with that.
I do.
That's why a major federal probe has to happen. It has to be turned over to the Southern District or to whoever it is on the federal level to be able to investigate. It is massive. I think that we've only seen the tip of the iceberg, and I'm going to stick by my guns that maybe half the council members, I have no way of proving, half the council members are probably as guilty as Larry Seabrook for what he got caught.
Just because these are people I served with for, 8 years, I just don't think that is fair. I think the vast bulk of city council members and state legislators, for that matter, are honorable, trying to do the best for the people
David,
they represent.
If that's the case, then answer me why they didn't obey the speaker's wish to be able to do away with those kind of funds. You know why? Because they got their grubby hands on the people's money.
David Yaski, Gerson Barrero, thank you both very much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in just a minute, we continue to introduce our new radio series and Facebook community for people seeking work. It's called Help Wanted. We'll meet another of our Help Wanted bloggers, and we'll talk about getting certified for green collar jobs. Stay with us.